Okay, thank you, Brian. Well, good morning. It's good to see family, and it's good to see some faces that I know people have been traveling this summer, so it's good to see some returning faces and some new faces. My name is, if you don't know, my name is Brett Stark. I'm one of the associate pastors here. And Athel Barnes, our senior pastor, he's hopefully really enjoying himself in South Africa. He's on sabbatical there until August. And Eric Spady, who has been preaching the past 3 weeks, he is currently in Scandinavia. So I'm here, and for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about the grace of God. Now, the grace of God is a very broad topic, but I want to focus in on a few areas. Today, we'll be talking about the grace of God in adoption and how that sets us apart as a child of God. It sets us apart in this world. And so, an amazing story of what God has done for us. It is a matter of grace being adopted into his family. And then for the next 2 weeks, we'll also be focusing on grace, but we'll be focusing on the free gift of righteousness that comes from God, which is about knowing what our legal position is before God so that in our living condition, we can live for God better. So we'll be talking about that in the next few weeks. But today, we're going to start with adoption. So, if I asked you the question, do you consider yourself a child of God? Okay, you don't need to answer that right now, but I want you to think about it, and I want you to think why you think you're a child of God. Why do you think that? And the reason I'm bringing that up is because I have seen in discussion with other people that there are a lot of people who think they're a child of God and say they're a child of God, but according to the Bible, they're not a child of God. And so today, I hope to anchor your soul, anchor your understanding in a knowledge of what it takes to become a child of God by grace, being adopted into the family of God. So let me pray, and then we'll get into our topic today. So, Father, we thank you for your great grace. Thank you for all that you have done for us that we don't deserve, that you give us your benefits and your love. Lord, you give us the free gift of righteousness, justified by faith in what your Son has accomplished on the cross for us, what your Son did in his life and in his death and in his resurrection. Lord, you have poured out your grace upon us. So we ask, Lord, today that you would mark us with understanding from your word what the grace of God for adoption is. So you have an associate pastor that has a sippy cup. So my throat's a little dry today, so I'm going to be taking little sips here and there. So don't be distracted by that. So, some years ago, I went to a Bible study. I was invited to a Bible study. I was there as a guest. And when I was there, they were all young Christians. A few of them, I had actually been on mission with many, many years ago. I was in YWAM in the early 2000s for about 5 years. And I had been on mission trip with a couple of these people. And I'm at this Bible study, and there's this debate going on and a conversation about whether or not Christians are any different than unbelievers. And there was confusion in the camp. There were people who were like, there's no difference. I'm no different than that person I work with. I sin just like that person does. And then other people were going, no, I know we're different, but there wasn't a clear answer in that conversation of what made a Christian different from an unbeliever. What sets us apart to be a son of God, to be a daughter of God? So what is it? So that's what we're going to talk about today. Also, just a few weeks ago, I was out on the streets, and I ran into a guy. We're in this conversation, and I got to know him a little bit. He goes to a church in Kansas City. He goes on mission trips. He's in the medical field, so he does some mission work short term. And in the conversation, the topic came up about what we believe, and he shared with me very confidently, you know, I am a child of God. He said to me, you know, I believe that I was born good. I believe all people are born good. And I believe that every person in the earth, every tribe, tongue, and nation, doesn't matter what country you come from, what religion you have, you are born a child of God. So this was his, and this kind of stirred in me. I'm like, no, that's not right. Okay, I'm thinking from my biblical worldview, my biblical understanding, no, not everybody can claim to be a child of God. And so I shared with him the gospel, which he respectfully disagreed, and I respectfully disagreed with him, and we went our own ways, and if I run into him again, I'm sure we can still have a conversation. Okay, but we disagreed. He doesn't see it through the same lens as I do. So the reason I'm sharing that is, you know, in America, it's a common way of thinking. There's actually a lot of people out there who think, I'm good, number one, I'm a good person, and two, I'm already a child of God. And their reasoning is this: God is love, he created me, therefore I'm a child of God. Okay, but does the Bible teach that? Does Jesus espouse that? Does he say that's the way it is? So that we're gonna get into that in just a moment. So my aim today is to root us and ground us. There is a heavenly judicial process of legally before God becoming a child of God, and that's what we're going to look at in the Bible today. It's a heavenly judicial process of legally becoming a child of God. And when it's legal, it gives you a solid foundation, an anchor, something you can know without a doubt because God sees it as his word and as law. So in order to do that, the first thing I want to do is to create a little context around this, what I'm going to call God's plan of adoption is a rescue story. Okay, it is a rescue operation. And I want to take a couple minutes just to paint a picture of what the Lord has done through adoption. Okay, so first, let's look at a verse here in Romans 8:15. This will just help us get started with understanding. There's a system out there. It's an evil system that we've all been brought into. And in Romans 8:15a, it says, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again." Okay, so to set the context, let me try to paint a picture here. The people who God created in his own image, okay, to bear his image in the earth and to give glory to him, were targeted by Satan to bear his image and to glorify his name. So that's the sinister scheme that took place in the garden, way back with Adam and Eve. Okay? So the Satan's plan was, I'm going to abduct people. So he approached Adam and Eve, he intrigued them, he deceived them, and then he enslaved them into what I'm calling a sin trafficking evil slave system. A sin trafficking evil slave system. The reason I'm using that because we have that modern term of trafficking, sex trafficking circles, and we hear of stories of some of those being exposed and people being saved from that. But I want you to get a picture of a worldwide sin trafficking evil slave system. This is what Satan was creating on the front end. It was Adam and Eve on the front end, but he envisioned all of humanity worshiping him, and he envisioned taking humans and instead of them exalting God by being image bearers of who God is, they would exalt him by being image bearers of who he is. And so and I wanted to emphasize that a little bit through the Word of God. In Romans 1, if you can put that slide up there, Romans 1, 29 through 32. So Satan had this ultimate plan, and so I'm going to read it from my text here, but you have it on the screen. Let's see. Oops, I'm in the wrong place here. Here we go. So as I'm reading this, this is what I want you to picture, that sinister scheme of Satan. This is what he is leading people who are still in the evil slave system. Okay, this is what he's leading people to be engrossed in. This is his vision for humanity. So it says, starting in verse 29, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they do not continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them. So what I'm trying to paint here for you as context for what we're going to talk about is this sin trafficking, evil slave system that Satan created and robbed the very people that were created for God to bear his image. He robbed them and brought them in. Now, one thing I want to point out is that humans in this were not innocent. We were complicit. Adam and Eve, the way that Satan did it, brought them to the place where they decided to agree with him, and they fell into sin. They believed what Satan had said, and they fell into his trap, into his system. So it wasn't that the bad devil did this to humans and we're just the innocent victims. No, we were complicit. We agreed with it. We said we became partners with Satan in this scheme. But at the same time, Satan's using deception and et cetera and guilt and all kinds of things that we experience here on earth in that. So I want to make sure I got everything here. So now, the good news, right? So that's the picture of this sinister scheme of Satan. But in the very moment that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, at that very moment, God had initiated a massive rescue operation. Okay, so Satan envisioned this massive trafficking system, I'm going to call it, but God envisioned a rescue operation. And so how did it go down? Immediately, right after sin in the garden, God says to Satan, there's a man, an offspring of a woman who's going to crush your head. He's going to destroy your works. That was God the Father talking about Jesus, the Son of God. And right in that moment, the rescue operation of God was set into motion. It was already in his heart before the creation or the foundations of the earth. But in that moment, he made the declaration and it went forth. I'm going to call it Operation Rescue by Adoption. Okay, he had so get the picture here. You have Satan robbing all these people that are supposed to be God's people he created in his own image and to be his own children. And now God in Operation Rescue Adoption is like, no, give them back to me. I want them. Okay, so that's the image we're getting. So God in his love for men, he had determined I want to read this for you, before the creation of the world, it was already in his heart to save us from Satan's sinister scheme. And his plan was to adopt people by grace through faith in the name of his son Jesus into his own family, into a safe place where he could transform our minds into being the image bearers of him in the world in glorifying his name. So let's look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, it kind of confirms what I'm just saying right now. For God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, or you can say through faith in Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace. Adoption is by grace. It's not by works. It's not being a good kid. Okay? To praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Isn't it comforting to know, I underlined it here, I don't know if you can see it up there, in Ephesians. It says, he predestined us for adoption. And when he did that, it brought God pleasure. It was the pleasure of his will to rescue humans and adopt us. This wasn't I have to do this for you kids that messed up kind of attitude from God. This is, I love these kids. I love people. I delight them. I made them for myself. I'm going to rescue them and bring them into my family. It had nothing to do with an attitude of disgust or you didn't quite do a good job, so I have to rescue you now. If that's your thinking, please erase that. I don't see that in God's heart or attitude towards us. All right. So now I want to talk about becoming a child of God. It is a matter of legally being adopted into God's family. Okay, this is the part where I believe, if you have wondered, how is it I am a child of God? Or if you came into church and just started going to church years ago, but you're not really sure of a witness or the testimony of the Holy Spirit in you, this is the part I would ask you to really, really listen to. Or if you're not really sure, how would I answer somebody if they asked me if I was a child of God? This would be the part, okay? So becoming a child of God is a matter of legally being adopted into God's family. Okay, this is a legal procedure. So that's what I want to emphasize now. So, question. What does it mean to become a child of God? Well, for Jesus, he's the only begotten Son of God. Okay? But for people, it means we need to be adopted. So for anybody to enter into the family of God, they need, according to the Bible, to be adopted. Now, becoming a child of God, according to God's word, is a matter of a heavenly judicial process of legally being adopted into God's family. So if you haven't noticed, I really want to emphasize the legality of being adopted by God to become a child of God. And the reason that is important is because it's God's spiritual law. And if he said it, and if he believes that about the person who puts faith in Jesus, then in our own hearts, how much more should we believe it? So the legality of it is made by God the judge. So we need to know that God is a father, he's a savior, but he's also a judge. He is God the judge. Now, for some of us, that's automatic negative connotation. Oh, he's going to judge me. Okay? But you have to understand that the law works for people. The law isn't against us. It helps us see our sin, praise God. But at the same time, the law is for us. So he makes the decision. And when he makes the decision that someone is a child of God, there's power and authority because the judge of heaven has said it is so. So, we're going to read in a moment a scripture, God has declared, God the judge, by his word, that a person who believes in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, has the legal right to become a child of God. All right, let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, if you can get that up there. Okay, let me read it here. I think my version's a little different. So it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Okay, that's the part I want to focus. To all who believed in his name, he gave the right, the legal right, to become a child of God. So, what I want to emphasize from this scripture here is the legal process of being adopted into the family of God is through believing in the name of Jesus. So it's by grace, through what Christ has accomplished for you and for me. It's by faith in what he has accomplished and done for us that we are adopted. So the point is that I want to make here, the emphasis on this page, is that in a legal way, a person is brought through the judicial system of heaven and is made into an adopted child of God through that legal process. It's very important to understand that, because if we understand that legally, let me just put it this way. If you have believed in Jesus, your legal position before God is child of God. Okay? That's a legal position as far as adoption goes. As far as forgiveness of sin, it's justified by faith in the blood of Jesus. But today we're talking about adoption. Amen. So, we want to go in a little bit deeper to get a better picture of, okay, what's within the legal process? What's happening here in the grace of God? So the Spirit we receive brings about our adoption to sonship. So there's a transaction that's happening, a spiritual transaction that is happening between humans and heaven and God, okay, when a person puts their faith in Jesus. But before I talk about that spiritual transaction, let's talk about a natural scenario. First the natural and then the spiritual, okay? So I have a couple of documents here. This one is called a birth abroad report. This is one of my children's birth abroad report. Birth abroad report means this is basically a birth certificate, but when I lived overseas, I had to go to the embassy to get a birth certificate, but they don't have birth certificates. They have what's called a birth abroad report. So I report as being a United States citizen that I have had a child born into my family, and that child is automatically considered, through the process of course, automatically considered a United States citizen, and they are able to get a passport after I get a birth abroad report. What I want to emphasize about this birth abroad report is that this is a legal document. And on this legal document, we have signatures on both sides from the Azerbaijani government and from the United States government or embassy. And there's also, you can't see it, but I can feel it, there's this seal right here on the paper. It's a seal from the United States embassy. And that is very important because that seal is the signature and the seal on this document is what makes this document genuine to the two parties. Same thing with this one. I have, this one's a little bit different. This one, I have one child, our only one child who was born in America, that was Elisha, and he has a birth certificate. Well, when we were overseas and we needed to get our visas, I had to go through the embassy to get what's called an apostille. This is this document certifies through the signature and through the seal that this second document, the birth certificate, is authentic. So that's the whole point of it, is so both governments know that it's authentic, that it's trustworthy. So now let's shift that kind of understanding and bring it into our adopted situation with God. Right? So when we put our faith in Jesus, part of the legal process of adoption is, or a very key part, let me put it that way, a key part of the legal process of adoption is the signing and the sealing of a person with the Holy Spirit. That is the stamp of God, that is the signature of God on our lives that sets us apart as a child of God. So it's not something you have to feel. We can feel it sometimes. Amen. Loved by God, right? But it's a matter of legality before God that you are a child of God because his signature is on you and he's put his seal on you called Holy Spirit. This authenticates the human being who said, I believe in the name of Jesus, and they've been given the right to become a child of God. In that right, the God's adoption process is kicked into fast forward. Holy Spirit comes into their lives, and when the Holy Spirit comes into their lives, it's God the... I want you to get this picture in a minute, but it's God the judge and God the Father working together to rescue people out of that sin trafficking evil slave system. Okay, I'm going back to that picture. But he's doing it in a legal way that marks a person. It's legal before God, and it's legal before people on earth as well. So it authenticates the human being. So when, put it this way, now when God looks onto the person who has received the Holy Spirit, the authentication process, has the signature of God on their lives, has the seal of God on their lives, it is a testimony, the Holy Spirit in that person is a testimony to God himself that I am a child of God. So God looks upon you and goes, child of God, has my spirit, child of God, has my spirit, child of God, has my spirit. So it's that authentication, it makes it genuine. The person is genuinely born again in the family of God by way of adoption. At the same time, we have the Spirit of God in us, just kind of reversing the idea here, the Spirit of God in us testifies to our own spirit. Okay, we're new creations in Christ Jesus, and the Spirit of God in me testifies to me, my spirit, that I am a child of God. Now I know that's my confirmation. That's my confidence. Spirit of God, I have witnessed and testified that the Spirit of God lives in me. I know I'm a child of God. That's what sets me apart. Does it make me perfect? No. Okay? Does it make me a child of God? By the grace of God? Absolutely. I am His. And He declares over our lives, anyone who's been through that process, some people call it being born again. But today we're talking about adoption. So in a sense, it is. You're being born into a family or adopted into a new family. It's just I love how God did it so that we can understand on both sides of it. God looks at us. We can understand how He sees us. But we can also understand by the witness and the testimony of the Spirit in our own lives. So just quick, very quick, I just remember, I'm just remembering this now. When I was born again, I was about, how old was I? I was 22. I was 22 years old. And, you know, recently I've been telling some of my kids, we've been just kind of telling stories so they can know us better of our lives, you know, just things we've been a part of and things we've done in life. And it was kind of funny because the kids kind of liked the stories about how bad I was when I was young. And so I was born again when I was 22 years old. And the point I want to make is this. It wasn't the only testimony, but there was a clear, recognizable change in my life immediately. If you knew me before that day, I had a terrible mouth. I had a terrible mouth, okay? But after that, it was like it just, there was no desire for it. It was gone. Okay, I can't say it never happened after that. I'm sure it has. But that part of it was gone. It was a recognizable, wow, witness and testimony that the Holy Spirit is in me and He's already doing, He's done a cleaning work. And that part of my life was already evident to me that, wow, he's affecting this part of my life. Excuse me. Oh, so sorry. I didn't know how to cover that up. Okay, so what I wanted to emphasize there is a witness and a testimony to our own spirit that we are a child of God. So if you think about that group I talked about in the beginning, you know, and all of us, we should be able to clearly say, no, by faith in the name of Jesus, God has given me the right, legally, to be his child. I'm child based on what my Lord and Savior has accomplished for me. Okay, we should be able to clearly communicate that to anybody who's asked. It doesn't mean they'll accept it, but we can communicate it. Okay, so I want us to consider this picture being painted by God, by God's word about this adoption process. I'm going to read a little bit here just to help us. So by faith in Jesus, I'm just going to reiterate some of the things I've already said, but just kind of say it again. By faith in Jesus, a person's legal position before God, the judge, is, and when we're talking about adoption, is adopted child of God. That is your legal position before God the judge if you have believed in the name of Jesus and believed in the rescue operation that he did for us, his life, death, and resurrection, then you are a child of God. That's, you stand with that label, so to speak, before heaven. It's a done deal. The Holy Spirit is the authenticating seal of God, testifying both to heaven and to earth that this person is a child of God. The Holy Spirit is that authenticating signature and seal. Now, I want us to catch this picture. The Holy Spirit on a person's life can be seen as the signature of God the Judge and God the Father. This picture personifies the heart of God in adoption and the love he has for humanity. We're talking love for humanity. He loves people with every bit of love that he is, which is eternal. Okay, he loves us. And so, in regards to adoption, let me read this for you. It says, it is God the judge, get this picture, God the judge giving legal authority for the adoption, and it is God the Father declaring his desire for the child to be his own. So you have God the judge who has the authority and the power in the courts of heaven, the highest heaven. He's the one who authenticates through the Holy Spirit and says, because that person has believed in the name of the Son of God and what he's accomplished, he authenticates the person. Okay, he has the legal authority to do that. Then the Father steps in and says, I want them. I want them all, and I want them out of that sick system that Satan has designed for them. And he wants to take us out and bring us into a family and to bring us into being what he created us to be, people who glorify God. Okay? So it's an amazing picture when we see it that way. So, to wrap that part up, this legal position is, the emphasis I'm making today, is what sets us apart to be children of God. And it sets us apart from other people. You don't have to feel bad about being set apart. Okay? You don't have to, if you're talking with an unbeliever, you know, I'm sorry, I'm set apart. I mean, you're not. Sorry, you know. I mean, we don't talk like that anyways, but my point is that we shouldn't have, our goal is to share the gospel with them and hope that they will believe like I did that man. Hopefully we'll run into each other again and we'll have another conversation. But the hope is that the Lord will open their eyes and they will see the truth about being adopted into his family, and that they aren't a child of God just because they were born into this world. So now I do want to take a moment. I don't know if I missed something there, but we're going to move into the next part, which is to show us that while the Bible is clear that through faith in Jesus we can be adopted as child of God, it's a legal process, judicial process of being adopted into his family. At the same time, the Bible also declares, the Bible also declares how a person may not become an adopted child of God. Okay? So let's go back to 1 John. I'm sorry, I keep saying that. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Okay. I'm going to go to my Bible here so I can see it better. Okay, so it's written. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right, the legal right, to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Okay? So, thinking about my conversation with that man, or the conversation in that Bible study, okay, the Bible here is really clear. It says, people who were born not of natural descent. In other words, you cannot become a child of God through natural descent. Another way to say it is, if you're born into a Christian family, that doesn't make you a child of God. Okay? You're not a child of God until that transaction between you and heaven happens, where the Holy Spirit, by faith in Jesus, authenticates you as a genuine adopted child of God. It's not by being born into a family. It's not by being born into a country. You know, where the world is divided up in various kinds of nations. We have Muslim nations and Hindu nations, and some nations call themselves Christian nations. Well, it's easy for someone born in a Christian nation who may hear a lot about God to believe they're Christian or believe they're a child of God simply by being birthed in America, being birthed in a Christian nation, whatever nation that might be. Well, that too is a deception, okay? So it's a deception that helps us, causes a person to rest and think, well, God is love, he created me, I live in this Christian nation, I must be a child of God. Well, that's a false conclusion according to the Bible, right? So that's one thing. It doesn't come through natural descent. It does, another way of looking at it, it is not of human decision. So this man I talked about, it seems to me, I don't know his whole story, but it seems to me that he himself came to the conclusion and decided, I'm a child of God. It was a human decision based on however he came to that understanding for himself, where he said, basically, I am good in nature and I am a child of God. This is of human decision. You can't just decide you're going to be a child of God. Okay, so let me give a few other ones. So a person can't just decide to be a child of God. You can't just wake up one day, I think I'll be a child of God starting today. Okay, it just doesn't work that way. We need this spiritual transaction between us and heaven. Parents can't decide for their children. Okay, this is a temptation because we hope and long for our kids, but we can't decide for them that they are children of God. They have to go through the same process. We teach them, we lead them, we direct them towards Jesus, and ultimately they have to come to that decision. We are not Christian, and we're not children of God because we decide to go to church. I knew a guy some years ago, unbeliever, still an unbeliever till today. He wanted to take his family to a church simply for the values, simply because of the good people who were there. It had nothing to do with salvation and loving God and pursuing and living for God for the rest of his life. It was about getting a value system that would be good for his family. Okay? That doesn't make anybody a child of God. Okay? So a person can't decide that all people of the world are children of God. Okay? So that's for every person in this world has to come to that place. That's why sharing the gospel is so important. Talking to people about the good news is so that they will have the opportunity to enter the same family that we're in. Finally, it says not of a husband's will. So that's simply saying that a husband or a father of a household can't decide for his wife or his children that they're going to be children of God, that they're Christian. Again, it comes down to the same process. So all of this, I want to point out that, one, it's very clear that we can't just decide to become a child of God. The Bible says so. You have to believe in the name of Jesus. You have to believe in the rescue operation of through his life, death, and resurrection. Once a person believes that, immediately the law of God goes into work, and that person receives the authentication from heaven by the Holy Spirit that they are genuine children of God at that point. That's the real point I want to emphasize today. Legally, before the Lord, anyone who's been through that process can stand confidently and know that they are a child of God. Okay, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. So we're going to go into, Brian's going to be playing, we're going to go into a little more time of worship. But I want to turn this into kind of a ministry time. There should be some people in a minute or so, that'll be standing on the sides. So what we want to take this, so there may be some people in here, well, let me back up. We want to take this opportunity to take this information, this truths that we're hearing from God's word today, and take our hearts and connect them with God related to those things. Okay? This is where we give Holy Spirit and God the opportunity to work in our lives in the family of God. Okay, through prayer. So there will be a few people on the sides that will be available for prayer. But also, I encourage you to, if you believe in Jesus and you've been through that process that I've just talked to you, you can pray with one another right where you are as well. Okay? But this is what I want you to think about as we go into this time of prayer. If there's anyone in here who has believed that they are a child of God because they're a good person, or because they go to church, or because they've had a good life, okay, I'm asking you to repent of those thoughts because they're not the truth. And I would ask you to turn to Jesus and believe in what he has accomplished for you. Believe that it's through the atoning sacrifice of a loving God and faith in that and belief in that, the grace of that, that a person can be a child of God. So I want to ask you, if that's where you are, if you've been struggling with that, or if you look back and you're wondering, am I a child of God? Then I want to ask you to talk to God right now and settle it once and for all. Pray with somebody, have someone pray with you through that if you want. Or maybe today the message was a confirmation. It's just reconfirming what your experience has been in God. I ask you that you would recommit in prayer right now to agree with your legal position so that you can live for God even more than you are today, until today. I want you to recommit to the knowledge of the legal position, that's my position, and by power of the Holy Spirit, I am free to live for God, to honor his name in his family for the rest of my life. I want you to recommit to that if that's where you are. Okay, so I'm going to pray. If there's anybody who can stand on the sides, I'd ask you to step up now. I'll pray briefly, and then we'll go into this time. So feel free to be prayed for, to pray for others as we go into this time of ministry. So Father, we just thank you so much that you have a wonderful rescue operation from that sin trafficking, evil slave system of Satan. Lord, we thank you that you have loved us since the foundation of the world, since even before the foundation of the world, that you have planned for adoption, that it was in your heart to adopt human beings, to mark us with your very Holy Spirit, a signature and a seal of authentication, a declaration of genuine adoption into the family of God. We thank you for your grace, that it's not by being a good child or doing all the right things that we become a child of God, but it's by faith in Jesus and what he's accomplished. Thank you, Father, for that grace. Thank you for the legality of it. Thank you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would work in our hearts right now. Whatever level we're talking to you about this topic, we ask that you would work in our hearts by your grace. Help us settle some things with you right now. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.